This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. And what were you talking about, Danny Page? You were talking about the...
He's a sellout.
He is a sellout. He sellouts on. He sells out on everything. But we were talking about Peyton Manning, and you said that you just had a bulletin that he's flying in on Bud Adams's private plane.
Well, Danny was sharing that with me, and I was just passing that along to you. But about 15 minutes ago, a news alert came across that said Bud Adams was flying him in on his private jet back to Nashville to talk again. Now, Peyton was already in town earlier this week on his own jet. So,
I heard part of the contractual agreements would be that they would be called the Tennessee Vols instead of the Tennessee Titans. Is there any accuracy to that?
Well, probably would be a better brand of football.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Does this mean we're going to have to hear Rocky Top?
Yes, yes. Oh, no. It's just a great time to be, I guess I should have said Tennessee Vol, but just to be a Tennessean, period.
Well, Tennessee sports fans have, you know, if that comes to fruition, you've got all the NCAA stuff, MTSU playing at Tennessee in the NIT second round. You know, you got the Lady Raiders and Vanderbilt playing.
Right.
So that's all big stuff.
And then you have the Tennessee girls are playing Tennessee Martin, and which is the home school for Pat Head. So, I mean, just look at it. It's just full of Tennessee memorabilia. I mean, all over the place. It really is.
Pretty neat stuff.
Yeah. And we're going to talk, we've got some really great stuff today. And we want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. Hey, Brian, see, how does that song go now? There was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road. Come on.
I remember hearing that song at the...
Thunder was his engine.
The Dollywood ride.
Yeah. White lightning was his load.
Yeah. White lightning? You talking about some white lightning?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about white lightning today. Who was it that had that song? White lightning.
I can't. That was George Jones, wasn't it?
Yeah, George Jones had the song White
Lightning. Yeah, yeah. We have John Whittemore and Jim Simpson today.
Howdy.
And we're going to be talking about your new distillery, and maybe kick in on a little history of the makings of the moonshine up in the hills, Short Mountain. And I had the pleasure of touring your distillery before. Actually, you started. In fact, you're getting close right now.
But yes, sir. You were our first tour that came through, as a matter of fact.
And it was so much fun, and I love to go around your place because it brought back a lot of memories of the hill country for me, but also the history behind moonshine pretty much goes along with our country, because a lot of the areas in not only in Tennessee but especially the Southeast, that was about the only way that a lot of these families had of making a living. And the old recipes came in from, I guess, Europe. But we're talking about Ireland and Scotland and places like that. So it was kind of one of these things where they were pretty much always under the gun, because making moonshine, of course, was illegal. And the reason being that they didn't pay federal taxes.
That's right.
In those type of situations. So, but it was one of them that was maybe a maligned in some respects occupation, but in others it was part of their heritage.
Absolutely.
And I was relating to you earlier, I saw a piece with Junior Johnson, who was one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time, and they were interviewing him about, he spent some time in the penitentiary because he was running moonshine back in the old days, and that was the only way that they could make a living. And they asked him, would you rather drive for NASCAR or had you rather run moonshine? And he was quite open with it. He basically said, if I could make the same amount of money running moonshine as I could driving a NASCAR, he said, I would do that, because he said that, that there's, you can't understand the real high, and I'm not talking about drinking it, is actually running it. I mean, it's just something, he said that you, unless you've done it, you wouldn't understand it.
Huh.
And then, of course, that was the beginning of NASCAR. But you guys are using that experience that you have from the people whose family have made this over the years. And, of course, they have a long history of whether their product was a good product or not. And, of course, everybody knows that the products that you have here were the top of the line, and that's what the people were looking for. And you stayed away from the bad stuff, because the bad stuff could be extremely unhealthy to the ones that were using it. So you did it right. And so tell me, what made you decide to get into the business now? Of course, it's a business that you can get into that's legal
and
maybe even competitive to some of the major distilleries that are here in Kentucky and also other areas.
That's right. Well, there's a couple of different reasons from my standpoint. Now, Jimmy can tell you a little different from his, but as we told you before, Jimmy and I are cousins, and my great-grandfather and his grandfather came into Cannon County very early on, and that was the way that they could support their family on what was considered marginal cropland and that sort of thing. So that was the way you could raise a big family around here. I was always fascinated with that, from my mother telling me stories and my cousins and different people in the family. Was real interested in learning about it. You know, I wasn't crazy about participating because of the illegal aspect of it, but I, you know, became involved with agriculture and farming, which was legal, and it just kind of all came together at once there, where, you know, I was doing a lot of different things from an agricultural farming standpoint, and this opportunity came up, and I told myself, I said, this is a way that the family can finally go legit with the old family business, but also tied it in with the farming.
Are you getting a lot of feedback from the people that live in this area, especially in the Cannon County area? How are they feeling about that?
Well, we get a lot of feedback. We have a Facebook page that just recently went over 3,000 likes on there.
Wow.
We get a tremendous amount of feedback through that. We have a lot of visitors that come by and visit with us and see what the progress is and keep up with us on that end of it. Jimmy can tell you, it's hard to go to town anymore and go in the co-op without having somebody stop and ask you about the progress. And from my point of view, it's all positive. It's all exciting. It's something that people are just anxiously awaiting to see it really come to fruition, which we are very, very close for that being the case right now.
You know, Jimmy, we were talking earlier about corn. And there's something that the average person like me doesn't know, that you can't just use any type of corn when you're making moonshine.
No, you can't. It takes a real high sugar content to turn out the alcohol that you need. And a lot of this hybridized corn, they've took a gene or something out of it, and it just doesn't sour off and do as well as the open pollinated corn does. And that's what we're trying to use, and that's what was used years ago. Of course, they didn't have any hybrid corn at that time. Now they, you know, have all kinds of varieties of it. You know, they grow it for different things. And we're trying to get back to the old original recipe as close as we possibly can. And that's one of the things that we're working on real hard to get done this next year.
So you have to be fully aware of all the aspects that would lead to your business. And one of the things that stands in my mind is the competition from the automobile industry, because they are really cutting into the corn supply. And I think that, of course, a lot of us can probably see that that's one of the reasons that corn has gone so high right now, because it's so competitive in that business right now?
Well, basically, they're doing the same thing that we are. Of course, they don't have to have the copper steels and stuff that we do. And the corn that they use it one time, and then they distribute it out to the livestock feed and different things like that. And we will continually use our corn over until it all is used up. And then when it does, we'll start over with a fresh batch of corn. And that's the difference between the open pollinated and the hybrid corn. Is the hybrid corn, you can only use it once, and open pollinated corn, it'll just keep souring back off for you.
Now, how are you going to be able to keep up with the demand once it really gets started? And I can see it coming, that you're going to become very popular across the country, and you're going to have to meet the demand of all the companies that will be wanting to utilize your product. So right now you're going to be making your own corn, or growing your own corn, I guess would be the proper way to put it. But what's going to happen when you're not able to keep up with that?
Well, that's something that we've foreseen for a while now. And what we grew on the farm this year, in all likelihood, won't really be enough to get us through this year. We've purchased some open pollinated from a neighbor already. And Jimmy and I were talking about that on the way up here, that the plan has been all along to encourage our neighbors and the farmers around us to be able to grow a type of corn that is good for our use. And they've been really responsive to that. All the farmers have been interested in learning what exactly the types of corn are that we need. And that's part of what we want to do for the community, is not just sell our product, but also to be able to utilize their services and the things that they can do to help us along.
Which is a great situation for Cannon County, because it's going to help those people that are, you know, everybody's had problems in the last 5 to 10 years economically. And this is something that will help Cannon County tremendously as far as reaching out to all the suppliers that you could have on hand. But even at that, can you still, of course, right now you're in the learning stage of what it's going to do. And you're doing it right. You're going to do it step by step, and you're not going to go into it full hog. But you're not just going to be utilizing the moonshine product. You're also going to reach out and become a little bit more flexible in your product.
Yes, sir. We're going to have a couple of different products that will come on as we get further along with it. Right now, we're trying to meet the great demand for the traditional Cannon County moonshine that we have. This fall, we're looking to come out with a product that's the apple pie recipe that utilizes the moonshine and the different flavors, which we found that, you know, that could be pretty popular amongst folks that maybe don't want to just drink the straight moonshine, but add a little flavor to it, makes it more palatable for them. We're also, as we progress, going to start storing some in barrels and be able to come out with a Tennessee whiskey that we produce there, as well as a Tennessee bourbon. So those will be the things that it'll take a couple of years before all those products are actually out there on the market. But that's our goal right
now. How long does it take for bourbon to actually age to the proper texture that you have to have?
All right, there's a lot of strict rules when it comes to that sort of thing that I'm only beginning to scratch the surface to learn about. There's some minimums on it. You know, some bourbons they can age as much as 12 years and on back. If I'm not mistaken, I almost hate to say without knowing for sure, but it's about 2 years on the bourbon, and I think close to that same amount of time as far as the Tennessee whiskey's concerned.
But so you're going to have quite a bit of space if you're going to put those barrels away. How in the world are you going to do that? Because I've been over to the Jack Daniel's distillery, and that place is huge. Of course, they've been in the business a long time.
They have. They've got quite the jump start on us. But we have got quite a bit of land there, and as we continue to grow, we've planned all along to add other buildings and facilities and whatever it takes. It'll be dictated by the people and what they want and the demand for our products.
Well, you know, Jack Daniel's, one of the reasons they picked Moore County was the water, supposedly, the purity of the water. And it is. It's of course, it's beautiful over there. But you can't find much pure water anywhere than what you've got in those hills up in Cannon County with the Stones River running around through there, the initial part of it.
Well, the spring that we're using is top of the spring that where Stone River starts. So I don't guess you could get water any more pure than what we're using. It's coming right off the top of the mountain.
Now, you've got quite a resume of in the history of moonshine, but we're going to have to go. We have a caller coming in, so we'll have to put our ears on. And caller, welcome aboard with John Whittemore and Jim Simpson. I'm sorry, Jim, we've run out of earphones. Okay.
How you doing, Chuck?
Hey.
Y'all remember Popcorn Sutton?
Yes, sir. We've heard of him.
He's the best moonshiner west of the Mississippi.
Well, that is certainly a lot of people's opinion. Yes, sir.
And they finally caught him and put him in prison. He died in prison.
Oh.
They couldn't put that poor man in prison today. He's a good guy. And now you can buy moonshine in the liquor store, right?
Well, our product is not available in the liquor stores just yet, but it will be this year. And we have our very own group of Popcorn Suttons who are living legends that are working for us at the distillery, and we feel like you'll be real pleased with the product that we can come out with.
I bet y'all can't beat him, can you?
Well, we're going to do our best.
Yeah. He made the best moonshine west of the Mississippi, and I got moonshine when I was a little kid, and it cured the chicken pox.
Well, that's a use I'd never heard of.
So you're growing a medicinal product, right?
Well,
you remember Bill Wilson gave me that moonshine a long time ago.
From Tennessee.
And he was the sheriff of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County.
Yes, sir, he was. And a good sheriff, too.
And he was the Andy Griffith of this town, like Sheriff Jones, you know what I mean?
Yes,
sir. He cared for the people, you know it?
yes, sir.
Chairman John's the best sheriff we ever had in this county.
Well, I appreciate that.
I hope he runs again or gets a syndicated program because he's a good host.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Be looking for that Short Mountain Shine.
Now, one thing places that you will supply, the stores, what are you looking at? I mean, do you do a survey to see which ones would be the best as far as taking your product and which one would be more interested in your product? Because that's something he brought up that I haven't even thought about.
Yes, sir. Well, Truman, in the state of Tennessee, the alcohol regulation is done by a three-tier system.
Mm-hmm.
So we're one part of that in that we are considered the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And then our product all goes to a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And there are four regions of Tennessee that all have different sections that have different distributors for those.
Mm-hmm.
So we will sell our product directly to the distributor. They're then responsible for taking it on to the retail markets and putting them out in those stores.
And there's always some in between area where people would come in and actually test your product and make sure that it's the right product for the consumers. How do you work within that system?
Well, there's if I'm understanding what you're asking, it's the federal government that comes mm-hmm. in and regulates that.
Right.
They have a lot of rules that we have to go by, regulations. We follow those, and then they have the option of coming in and testing randomly or you know, especially with a new product, I guess they watch mm-hmm. a little closer. But as far as those type standards, we just do the best that we can to meet those, and we work with them any way that's necessary.
Now, Jim, how long has your family been in the business of manufacturing the moonshine product? I know it's been probably more than four or five generations.
Oh, I'm sure, yes. Uh-huh. Back in the 1800s, I know for sure. And how much farther back behind that, I don't have any idea.
Has it evolved? Has it made any changes over the years? I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years that they've actually had that product.
Well, the basic recipe hasn't changed all that much. The way that we fire the stills up, of course, they started with wood,
mm-hmm.
and then they went to kerosene,
mm-hmm.
and then they went from kerosene to the propane, and now we use natural gas. So that's probably the biggest change that's been made to it. It's all still, if you do it right, it's still all made on all copper stills and condensers with no lead sorter, kind of stuff.
When you make moonshine, you know, when you make anything, it's always a pinch of this and a pinch of that.
That's true.
How do you come up with the right ingredients to make sure that it's something that's going to be palatable for the person who is actually drinking it?
Oh, we've just done it so long that we know a pinch of this will make it taste like this, or a dab of that will make it taste a little different. It'll take something out of it or put something back into it.
and a spoonful of sugar will make the medicine go down pretty well.
Yes, that's a pretty ghost guess, yeah.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hey, Truman.
Hey.
A caller called in a while ago, was talking about popcorn.
Uh-huh.
And popcorn did a couple of programs for public television. And they showed him making his whiskey and all of that over in the Carolinas.
Uh-huh.
And after that, after he made those films, well, the federal government got back in on him. And that's when they popped him again.
Well, bless his heart.
And rather than serve his time out in prison, Popcorn committed suicide.
Oh, no.
That was the demise of Popcorn, son.
Well, you know, I presume that was an informational program. That
oh, it was. It was. It was a great program. Great program.
So,
but they didn't pay tax on the whiskey.
I wonder how far they could go back on. Was he still in business at the time?
I don't really know the full extent of what was involved in it.
Uh-huh.
But it hadn't been that long ago.
Oh my goodness!
It's only been a few years past when that happened. I hope I can't go back too far because I used to haul whiskey.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You are one of many that used to haul in this area, and you think about it. It used to stretch for hundreds of miles.
We hauled Bowling Green into Nashville.
Wow.
My cousin and I.
Uh-huh.
And we were both teenagers, and we hauled it in, these government 5-gallon gas cans.
Yes, sir.
We'd go up Bowling Green. We'd pull in a garage up there. And they'd load the trunk down, and it'd have anywhere from 20 to 22 of those 5-gallon cans in it.
Uh-huh.
And we'd pull back out, bring it to Nashville, pull in another garage down here. We never touched it. When we'd pull in, they'd pop the trunk, they'd take it out. And they'd give us $10 a can for hauling it. And that was anywhere from $200, $220. And that was a whole lot of money back then for two teenage boys.
Oh, yeah. I imagine it lowered your trunk quite a bit on the tire.
My cousin had a 63 Chevrolet with I can't remember whether it was a 427 or a 411 engine in it. And he had extra heavy duty suspension in the back.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like one of these rake cars.
Yes.
Whenever we'd go to Bowling Green, then when we'd come back, it looked like it had lowering blocks on.
I can see that because I can remember seeing them.
But I thought I'd throw that in about popcorn, and as far as the moonshine and everything. That was one of the, aspirations of some young boys if they could grow up to be moonshiners. That was a way for them to get a job that paid something.
And it was exciting.
Working on that farm.
It was real exciting for young kids, too.
Yeah, like I said, we were both teenagers. I was a year older than he was. And we had a police sergeant in Nashville. It was on with, I can't remember whether he was on with Metro or whether he was on with Davidson County Sheriff's Patrol. I think it was Davidson County Sheriff's Patrol. But he's the one we'd get the money from.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I want to hear that one.
Well, he was just an in-between man.
Yes, yes. I see.
I don't know whether he participated any other way or not,
yeah.
But we knew where we was going to get the money from.
All right. I appreciate you calling. Thank you.
All right. I enjoy listening to you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Tell old Ricky Estes when you see him at, I believe he's bringing back the trade.
Oh, I don't think Ricky ever let it go away.
Now, see, that's worse than what I just said.
All right.
Y'all take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Yes, Truman, I think your guest will know the comment on this, since they're going to be growing their own product. It was interesting that that requires an open pollinated corn, which I wasn't familiar with, and I'm not that familiar with the process anyway. However, I wasn't aware of that, and I guess that I've heard my parents talk. The only open pollinated corn that I ever heard them talk about was, they called it Hickory Cane, but I think the actual name is Hickory King. Mm-hmm. But other than that variety, what are some of the varieties of open pollinated corn that could be used?
Oh, there's Trucker's Pride. There's a Dent corn. I think it's a 501 Dent. There's a Tennessee Red Cob. The old corn they used to call Blue Goose.
And all these are called actual field corn, or are they sweet corn?
They're all field corn.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Sweet corn doesn't make too very good. It doesn't turn out very well.
Okay. You've answered my question. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street and 5631 New Nashville Highway. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly. And that will be at the Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street or 5631 New Nashville Highway. And give them a call. It's at 890-2646.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It certainly always is a pleasure to be here in New York, since it is one of my favorite cities of the United States. Right now, we'd like to get right on into another number here for you. And before I do, I would like to introduce the boy that's going to accompany me here on this, doing the harmony with me. And he's a boy that's been with me for quite a while. I'm sure a lot of you might recognize him. Let's give a big hand to Georgie Riddle.
Yeah, come on in.
He's going to help me do a little tune here called The White Light.
Back in the hill, lived my old pappy, and he had him a still. He brewed a white lightning till the sun went down. Then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy's corn squeezing.
Shh, white lightning.
Well, a G-man team and a reveners too, searching for a place for an angel's brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept a cooking.
Ooh, white lightning.
Ready for me now, host?
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hot Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
Hello, I'm Dave Gober with First Community Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
This is Wednesday, March the 14th, and the 20th annual City School Art Competition continues. It's in the Murfreesboro City Hall Rotunda. You can see the winning display Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. It's absolutely free. And the artwork created by our city school students is phenomenal. You need to check it out now through March the 23rd. Don't forget, Bald in the Borough is coming up Friday, starting at 4 in the afternoon over at Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's a fundraiser that benefits children's cancer research. Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles is at 450 Butler Drive, right here in town. A big Red Cross blood drive tomorrow in Murfreesboro from 9 in the morning until 6 in the evening. This is at the Red Cross office, 501 Memorial Boulevard. That blood drive tomorrow, 9 in the morning until 6 tomorrow night. And the wellness fairs tomorrow at the Lane Agri-Park starts at 9 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. Middle Tennessee Medical Center's Mobile Health Unit, along with the Susan G. Komen Mobile Mammography Unit, will both be there, and it's free. For information, call Pat Whitaker at 898-7701. For a Wednesday, those are Good Neighbor Events.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now
we
back to Truman Jones.
We all strung out boys reunited, and we got the girls and players with us tonight, so we're going to do a hot little number for you about the Cannon County Mountains. Do it, Jake.
John, was that you?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid it was.
Hey, you did a great job.
Thank you, Truman. Thank you.
Are you going to promote your product with some of your songs like that?
Well, you know, Billy's brother's in town. He's recently moved here, and he's very enthusiastic about recording and doing music and performing and that sort of thing. So we're working on a few projects that hopefully we'll be able to show you. But that was my good friend Jake Hopping on the banjo there, and all that song's credit goes to him, not mine.
You know, that would be a great promotion for you guys to do some of the entertaining over there at your place and periodically, and that would bring a big crowd in. I don't guess you could utilize your product there at your distillery, but still, it's a...
Oh, we can. We can.
Oh, can you?
Oh, sure. Yes, sir. You know, that reminds me that April 21st is the big date that mm-hmm. we wanted to let everybody know about, where we'll be having our grand opening, mm-hmm. and we'll have bands performing that day. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I might be able to get up there and play a little bit, but I might be busy doing some other things that day, too. But we're planning on a big day that day for everybody to be able to come out. You'll be able to taste our product in our retail sales room. You'll also be able to purchase a bottle and take it home with you if you'd like.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
So things have changed, because I remember back when Jack Daniels was going real strong. And remember, they would give away their little small bottle to the people who would come through and tour the place. And then after a while, they quit doing it. But what was so strange was that Moore County was a dry county.
Mm, yes, sir.
So if they invited people to come over to do the tour of the distillery and listen to all the information that they had there, when they would treat their guests, they would go across the county line and then have a dance or whatever over there. So it's quite an interesting situation the way you guys have it, because now you were talking about the 21st. Is when
yes,
you're
sir.
When you're April the 21st.
April 21st,
is going to be,
yes, sir.
You're opening. Are you going to have other openings there as far as when you're actually going to be actually selling the product to all of your suppliers?
Well, what we're doing now is, of course, April 21st will be the grand opening, mm-hmm. and we'll have bands and barbecue and all kinds of things for them mm-hmm. then. We are also going to be open on March 23rd and 24th. Mm-hmm. That'll be what we're calling our soft opening, or okay. our first day of being open to the public. Mm-hmm. We have got, as we've talked about before, a lot of interest in people coming out and seeing what we're doing. We mm-hmm. feel like we're ready to go ahead and let people come in, get almost a sneak peek, but get an idea of what's going on there. We've had such a great demand for our initial runs, our first run bottles that'll be autographed by the distillers. And that is something that we had such a response on that we thought that, you know, this opening on the 23rd, we might not have enough to meet everyone's demand for that. So we're encouraging everybody to still come out on the 23rd and 24th. We'll have barbecue, we'll have bands. You can take the Cave Spring tour, see the farm. But what we're telling everyone is, if you really got your heart set on coming away with one of our bottles, April 21st would be the best bet for you to come out.
And I imagine a lot of those bottles will be put away for historical purposes.
That's what I'm being told by a lot of people, that that's the only reason that they want them, is they want to get them and put them up and see how, you know, see how valuable they are in years to come, which we hope that they are.
It's such a great opportunity for Cannon County, and we're talking about business-wise probably more than any other. Are you getting any support in Cannon County from organizations such as the Chamber or people like that that are doing promotions for you? Because once it gets going the way a lot of people perceive it's going to be a boon to Cannon County. And I guess, I don't know if I should even be asking this question or not, but, you know, Moore County is dealing right now with, or, and I presume they're still dealing with Jack Daniel's distillery as far as their tax situation.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Now, how is that going to be working in Cannon County?
Well, we, again, have had tremendous support from everybody. Jimmy and I, just last week, I believe it was, we were on the DTC public access with the head of the Chamber of Commerce there, Carolyn Motley. We went in and spoke with her. Neil Applebaum is the new president of the chamber. Billy, our owner, Mr. Kaufman, went in and spoke to the chamber with them. And something real interesting that we're doing right now is with the chamber and the old mill, the Reedyville Mill, and the Arts Center, a couple of the, you know, pretty prominent attractions in the county. We're working together to come out with a brochure or a tourism pamphlet to show people that are coming in from out of town all the different things that there are for them to do. So right now, that's our biggest thing that we're working on with the community.
And you just mentioned two places that are places that are well attended from all across the mid-state, because the Reedyville Mill is a great attraction when you're talking about history of Rutherford and Cannon County.
Sure.
And then the Arts Center, we're going there Friday night because they're having Camelot. And John Blankenship, I don't know if you know John.
Yes, sir, I know
he
John.
He does a great job over there. And I can't wait to go watch him perform as whatever character he's going to. I think I know which one it is. But it's you know, you guys are doing everything right, it seems like. You're reaching out to all the areas that are a positive promotion for your business.
Yes, sir. We're trying, and that credit goes to the whole team up there. Everybody we've got working up there, Christian Grantham, Billy Kaufman, Josh Smotherman, our distillers, our shiners, Jimmy and Ronald and Ricky, that we're all really putting a lot of effort into this and trying to do it right, because you only make one first impression, and we're really counting on making it a good one.
So we can actually see the people who are making the moonshine now. They don't have to be back up in the woods hiding and maybe have the misfortune of losing all of their barrels and all of the products that you had to distill at one time or another. How does that feel, Jimmy?
Let me tell you a little story there, Truman. The other day it was cold, and all three of us were inside, and we had all the doors shut. And here come a car down the driveway, and some of the gravel's turned over, and we all three ran up to the crack and looked out to see who it was. We looked at each other and said, "We can quit doing this now."
That is a culture shock, isn't it?
It sure is. There.
You know, when you guys were on last, I had a lady call and thanked us for being on, and her dad was a revenuer, which what was called revenuers back then. And he had already passed on, but she mentioned the fact how much she enjoyed reliving those times and how much her dad would have enjoyed you guys being on and talking about a different time and a different world. And there was a lot of respect, most people don't understand, between the governmental officials and the moonshiners. There was each one knew what the other one's responsibilities were and position were, And it's one of the few things that I can remember in law enforcement where you had a kind of tradition where you did honor the other side.
You did. That's very true. Yes, you did. You know, and both sides honored the other one.
Yeah. We have another caller on the line. Actually, we have two. So we'll take the first caller. Caller, welcome aboard.
Yes. I had a question for the guys with the moonshiners. Do y'all make y'all's own distillery and all that with the barrels and all the copper and stuff?
We have a sheet metal shop that does our fabrication on our steels for us. Usually one of us goes with them or all three of us go when they're putting it together, and we explain to them what we want, and we stay with them till they design it to our specifications.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hey, Truman.
Hey.
I called you a while ago, but I just had another thought you might want to pass along about Ricky.
Uh-huh.
Him and J.C. Ledbetter up there at the same time.
Yes.
Y'all could probably get some real interesting stories going on.
It's funny, Ricky was just talking about J.C. Ledbetter yesterday.
I bet he was.
He sure was.
There's no telling how many foot races them two had between each other.
But they could sure swap out some stories. I bet you on that.
They sure could.
Well, I just thought I'd run that by you.
Well, I appreciate
Thank
it.
You. And you know, Truman, I wanted to mention, too, the caller before who was asking about the equipment that we mm-hmm. use. We have got the sheet metal shop fabricating a lot of the equipment that these guys are using to make the Short Mountain shine, which mm-hmm. we're using traditional Cannon County style stills and, mm-hmm. and fermenters and all that sort of thing. Well, not fermenters, but the condensers. But a company out of Kentucky called Vendome, mm-hmm. they have built all of our bigger stills. We have a 250-gallon still in the main part of the still house, as well as a 30-gallon still. Mm-hmm. And they've done super work for us. And they supply, it's my understanding, just about every distillery in the United States with their copper stills and equipment.
And I presume that you have specifications that you have to live up to, and the inspections are probably pretty rigid.
Yes, they are. They are. I can say that we've got some equipment that was being started up today. I think it was our chiller, wasn't it, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's lots of rules as far as that kind of thing. We can't just turn it on. We can wire it and plumb it, but they have to come out to make sure it's turned on correctly. And our boiler, that's a really tight thing that they have to really be careful about. So we've had the people come out and already get that started for us.
You know, J.C. Ledbetter's name was brought up, and I've known J.C. most of my life. And how did you feel the relationship? Because you had individuals. It wasn't just one. You had a number of people that would come in and actually run the hills. Was Short Mountain a target back then for the moonshine? Because everybody's heard about Short Mountain just my whole life in this area.
Well, the Short Mountain was a pretty popular area, mm-hmm. but there's an area between Coffee County and Cannon County there, that Braderville area mm-hmm. there. The rock formations and stuff over there are pretty similar to Short Mountain. There's some good hiding places and a lot of springs over there too. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty hot spot. There's a lot of activity going on there. And as far as revenues, it was a good thing because they kept the price of the whiskey up.
Oh, really?
So they'd go in and close these other stills out. You know, and if you was lucky enough to get by, your product would bring premium price. And when everybody was making, the price of it went down.
So they were
beneficial to both sides.
So what if you were, if they came in and busted up your still and everything was just destroyed, how long did it take you to become back in business again where you're operational?
Oh, sometimes you'd have an extra still just laid back for those purposes. Sometimes
oh, really?
You could go back to work the next day, you could start putting your barrels back up and stuff.
And usually it was a pay a fine and then you were back in it again.
Well, that's why the foot races took place, to keep from having to pay the fines.
All right, we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Truman. This is actually for you. This is Sarah. We went out to see the production that John is in.
Uh-huh.
And he is playing King Arthur. What else would he play but a king?
Of course, of course.
It's a wonderful production. You won't be disappointed.
Are you going to be in it also?
No, we just went to see it, and it was out of this world good.
Oh, I can't wait. Greg and I were talking about it yesterday, and I said, you know, that's something we've got to do. So we agreed on it, so we're going to be out there Friday.
Okay, have fun.
Oh, we will, Sarah. I appreciate
it. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And it's located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they come into your home. They take care of all the duties that you have to take care of in your own home. And, you know, once you get into the point where it's very difficult for you to do that and you may be looking at maybe moving to another place, give them a call. It's 713-4639, 713-4639, or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, because they will come into your house 24/7, take care of all those responsibilities for you, even run errands. They'll do everything that they can to make sure that you're comfortable in your own home and you can stay there as long as you want to.
Let me tell the story, I can tell it all, about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, son he drove the load. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town, the revenuers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, twice the devil's thirst.
The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. On the 1st of April, 1954, a federal man sent word he'd better make his run no more. He said 200 agents were covering the state. Whichever road he tried to take, he'd get him sure his fate. Son, his daddy told him, make this run your last. Your tank is filled with 100 proof, you're all tuned up and gassed. Now don't take any chances, if you can't get through, I'd rather have you back again than pull that Mountain Dew.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine to quench the devil's thirst.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patrick Showalter.
And I'm Dr. Chad Jackson. Did you know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center is home to the Da Vinci Surgical Robot and that we are the first surgeons to use the robot in Rutherford County?
When faced with prostate cancer, the Da Vinci robot makes surgery an excellent option.
It allows for quicker recovery, less blood loss, and studies suggest it may be the most effective, least invasive treatment option for improving cancer outcomes.
For more information or to find a Da Vinci robot certified physician, visit mtmc.org.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. Starting in May, you can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
Welcome back with us, and we have two callers on the line. So, first caller, welcome aboard with us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to tell you that when my brother was in Vietnam in the 60s, that he received a gift of some Cannon County moonshine, and as I understand, it was quite the hit with the troops, so it became famous at that time. I'm sure you couldn't get away with sending that in the mail now, but it made me reflect back on the time that my brother was so excited that he had received that in the mail, so...
Bless his
heart. And I don't know if you, I just tuned in, so I don't know if you played White Lightning by George Jones, but you're going to have to play that one too.
Yes, we did. We played Possum's record, and actually he was young back then, and he didn't go by George Jones. He went by George Riddle.
George Riddle, yes, sir.
Riddle.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I just wanted you to know that you were the Cannon County Moonshine was quite popular with the troops in the Vietnam era.
Well, I wanted to let you know we've got a young neighbor of ours who was recently doing a tour in Iraq, and we sent him over one of our Short Mountain Distillery ball caps, and he had his picture made with it on and sent it back to us. So we're still there in some ways.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank
keep
you.
Keeping the spirit up. All right. We have another caller. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Truman?
Yes.
How much are the bottles that they're selling now, you know, for just, I guess you call it, remember, two bottles?
Uh-huh.
Yes, our 750 milliliter or fifth size bottle, which is what we'll have available.
Let me hang up and listen. I don't guess you can reserve, say, a case of them, could you?
No, sir, not at this time. We've had to cut that off. We had some folks making reservations for our first run autograph bottles, but we've had such an incredible response to that we've had to cut that list off. But our 750 milliliter bottle that'll be available there in the retail store is selling for $34.99 at this time.
That's a good price.
Because that's
something that these people are going to put away and they'll have forever. And when you guys become so successful, which I presume that you're going to be, and it'll not only be a boon for you guys but all of Cannon County, and it's something that people 25 or 30 years ago, you know, I was watching something the other night that had the Jack Daniel's distillery. It was some of the top companies in the world, and they were listed in there, and it showed about the beginning of how they got started and everything in the family and what it's done for the community. And I presume we're going to be seeing things like that, because once you become successful, then you're going to share it with the people there in the community in Cannon County. And that's something that a lot of people can look forward to.
That's what we're hoping. You can go to Lynchburg any given day of the week and see what it's done for them.
Now, tell me again how people are going to get to your location, because it's hard to believe, but a lot of people are not familiar with where you are or in Short Mountain. I have people all the time ask me, where in the world is Short Mountain? Because I've heard of it all my life. Now you're going to have kind of a parade going in and out of where Short Mountain is. It's something that you used to never see and never thought you'd ever see.
That's true.
And hoping you wouldn't see.
Hoping we wouldn't see, yeah.
Hopefully our roads will be able to hold up under the pressure of it. The easiest way people can find us is to go to our website, which is shortmountaindistillery.com. Mm-hmm. We have a map on there. We'll be able to provide directions for people from there. You could come from Murfreesboro, which I'm presuming most of the folks who are listening to us will be coming from. You'll come up Highway 70 through Woodbury, and we suggest that you come all the way through town and to the top of the hill there, and you'll see 281. There's a flashing light there. Mm-hmm. You can make a left on that. It'll bring you to Highway 146, which is also considered Short Mountain Road.
Mm-hmm.
Take a left there and look for the signs.
And if they're coming from the DeKalb side, you guys are only about 2 miles from DeKalb County line, is that right?
Yeah, if it's even that. Yeah. Yeah, I think when you guys came out, you went to DeKalb County before
we
realized
you went past your place. I don't know how we missed it, but we went past it, and we said, we're in DeKalb County. All so right. We turned around and went back. But it's a great ride back up there. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yes, sir. Just a short distance from DeKalb County, again, you'll come out Short Street, which is Short Street, I believe, in Smithville, but Short Mountain Highway, 146. You can come out from that direction, and I'm guessing, less than 15 minutes drive from downtown Smithville. Mm-hmm. We now have a big sign out front to help those that aren't quite sure, so we'll be very recognizable. And we're planning on, for the April 21st grand opening, we're planning on putting up some additional signage and that sort of thing to help people along.
And we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hi.
Is the 24th an open house?
Yes, ma'am. March 24th, we will be open to the public, so you'll be able to come in, take the Cave Spring tour, check out the facility, meet the Shiners, have some barbecue. There'll be a little music playing. But as I stated before, if you're coming looking to be able to purchase one of our bottles, April 21st will be the time for that.
Okay. What time is the open house?
Okay. Our hours on Friday the 23rd and Saturday the 24th are going to be 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay. You can't buy that day.
Well, we hope that you're able to. I've been talking before about the just incredible demand that we've had for those first bottles. So we're hoping to be able to have some available for everyone. But if you want to be sure and have one, April 21st will be your date.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now, and she was saying March the 24th, the open house. That is just to tour the facility and just see what you have there. Is that...
Well, it is. It's going to be basically a day that we're open to the public. We're calling it a soft opening. And there will be product there. We will be able to do tastings. I'm just letting folks know that we may run out pretty soon mm-hmm. on that day because our demand and being able to produce as much as everybody is already wanting is going to be something that we're hoping to be able to meet.
Now, when you have a lot of people and they show up, what are there may or may not be able to purchase of your product on the 21st. Is that right?
No. The 23rd and the 24th of March will be our soft opening. That's the date that we may run out soon.
Okay.
We're going to have as much product available as we can. Jimmy and the guys are working just as hard as they can to make sure we have enough. But we've just been letting everybody know that if you're really counting on being able to come away with a bottle,
21st.
April 21st is the day that you'll need
and
to come out and
see sure
us.
You're pretty sure you're going to be able to take care of the public as they come through on that day.
We're as sure as we possibly can be.
Okay. But if you run out.
Yes, sir.
On the 21st, will people be able to put their names down for, say, the 23rd and the 24th? And would you be able to supply them then? Because, you know, when people go up there, I think they're kind of counting on the historical part mm-hmm. of that business opening up. Is there some way that you can guarantee maybe that later on that they would be put down and they would be able to receive that product?
They could probably get on the list, and as the product becomes available, they would be probably the people that would get it first.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult to say, Truman, because, again, we're going through a distributor. Even the product that we're selling there in our retail store,
okay.
we have to get that through our distributor.
Uh-huh.
So making those type promises, it's a little difficult for us to do. We are just encouraging everybody, April 21st, our production should be right on where it needs to be, and you can come on out and get a bottle then. But March 23rd and 24th, we will be open for folks to come out and see what we're doing.
Now, on the day that the people will be showing up and they'll have the music and mm-hmm. and all the entertainment and those things, would that be on all 3 days or just on one particular day?
The March 23rd and 24th soft opening, the Friday we're going to have barbecue available,
uh-huh.
but we won't have a band there that day.
Right.
That Saturday, which is the 24th, then we'll have the barbecue, we'll have the bands, and we'll have the tours mm-hmm. available, which on Friday as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, April 21st is the grand opening, and that'll be our big celebration, and that'll be everything from tours to tastings to purchasing bottles to meeting the shiners. Everything will be wide open and ready to go by that day.
So that's going to be the day that you'll have a lot of people.
We there. Hope so.
I'll guarantee you. I've never heard so many people that were so interested in one opening in my life.
And, that's true.
And be able to experience, how does it feel, Jim, when you have all those people coming in that were so interested in what you've done most of your life, and you had to do that in kind of a secret type situation, and now you got people that are just coming from all over to see what your product is?
Well, like I told somebody the other day, you know, there's always been kind of an element of witchcraft with this.
Yeah.
It's always done, you know, back in the shadows.
Uh-huh.
And now we can bring it all out to the front and take all the witchcraft out of it and say, hey, you know, we're just normal people doing this, you know, just to make a living. And, mm-hmm. You know, they can see how we make it. And, you know, and it's not a radiator or anything in there to run it through or anything, you know.
Let's hope there's not a radiator.
no radiator.
You know, that's what we really like, and I think we're going to enjoy it. All three of us have talked it over, and, uh-huh. you know, we're all pretty much in agreement on that.
Well, it's been fun, guys, and I'll be up there probably on the 21st, the grand opening.
Yes, sir.
And I'm planning on having a big time over there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun and get to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a lot of years, and some I've met in probably all kinds of type of situations. So
I'm sure they'll be there too. Yes.
It's going to be fun, and I wish you a lot of luck.
Well, thank you.
And I think that you guys are working towards something that's going to be very successful for you guys and for the community too. So I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you having us, Truman, and for all your support. And I want to really take this opportunity to thank everyone who supported us the whole way, because we were discussing it at the distillery the other day. We can literally say that without the support of the community, we wouldn't be where we are today. So thanks to everyone out there.
Yes.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow. And I believe that we're going to have another person who has a lot to do with Cannon County. We're going to have Ron Fryer on, who is the publisher, owner of the newspaper there in Woodbury. So it'd be very, we may even discuss you guys tomorrow.
Okay. Say good things.
They had a pretty nice write up on us a couple of weeks ago there in the paper. So
yeah, good bunch of guys. See you tomorrow.